It's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check out prices fared and the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time in Kansas City. May wheat opened at 428.5, down 2.5 on the open. July, 434.5, down 1.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 350.5, down 2 on the open. July, 364, down 2. September, 374, down 3.25. December, 390, down 3. March, 405, down 2 on the open. May corn opened at 239.5, down 2 on the open. July, 250.5, down 2.25. September, 259.5, down 2. December, 271, down 1.75. March, 278.5, down 2 on the open. May oats opened at 174.5, up 0.5 on the open. July, 179.5, unchanged. May soybeans opened at 560, down 4 on the open. July, 573.75, down 4.25. August, 579, down 4.75. September, 580, down 7. November, 588.5, down 4.75. January, 596.5, down 4.5. March, 604, down 4.5 on the open. May soybean meal opened at 171.80, down 90 on the open. July, 174, down 90. May soybean oil opened at 22.53, down 14 on the open. July, at 22.98, down 11. At the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April feeders open at 180, up 25 on the open. May, 101.15, up 20. August, 103.30, up 17.5 on the open. April live cattle opened at 79.80, up 10 on the open. June, 74.70, up 10. April lean hogs opened at 54.30, down 52.5 on the open. May, 62.85, down 12.5. June, 63.85, down 22.5. July, 63.75, down 37.5 on the open. And May pork bellies opened at 81.80, down 17.5 on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Friday, sir.
Happy Friday to you. Are we seeing a little profit-taking today ahead of Monday's reports?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Got a little bit of end-of-week profit-taking. The beans gave up a little bit on the close yesterday, and the weather maps look a little bit drier. And actually, some now in the agricultural community are calling for a drier weekend in most of the central Corn Belt. And a warm-up, some are saying a long-lasting warm-up starting next week. So those are the factors that are hitting us right now. We've got some profit taking over in gold as well with the outside markets, like the metals, seeing some end-of-the-week profit taking as well.
Of course, we have that report coming out on Monday, ending stock estimates for corn, 2.261 billion bushels, beans, 574 million bushels. Unless there's huge changes here, Mike, I got to think that they'll turn their attention directly to weather about 2 nanoseconds after the report is issued.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's what they traditionally like to do. But we would say that the report could look pretty bad on the domestic numbers, in our view, Dave, without some help from the crush being raised. And the other thing that the market has seen a lot of changes this past week on is the South American numbers, specifically Brazil. And a lot of traders in Chicago right now are probably wondering whether we're going to see a 55 million metric ton Brazilian bean crop, or whether we're going to have that offset with Argentina, and see exactly where USDA comes in at.
Let's look at a few ratios for a moment. Before the planning intentions report was issued last Friday, the Thursday numbers from March 30th showed a 2.36 to 1 ratio from November beans to December corn. Before the bell this morning, it was down to 2.17. Has the market done enough to buy enough corn acres?
Well, we would think for now it probably has. It's a hard thing to talk about because, like we talked about in the Wolcott meeting this past week, the planters are really going to dictate how much we come in and change acres. I will say, though, since the Wolcott meeting, I've had several, maybe, you know, 3 to 4 phone calls placed by clients and producers, and also a couple from seed salespeople that have said they are seeing a switch into the corn, back into the corn, you know, in the western Indiana and east central Illinois areas. I will have to say I was surprised by how much rain Marshall and, you know, Hudsonville, where Sherman's at, and areas like that, even all the way down to Effingham. They got a lot of rain this past week. Some got 4 inches or more, and Sherman told me this morning it's going to be at least 2 weeks for them to dry out, even if they warm up. So it doesn't put them behind, but they sure don't want to see any more rain at this point. So it's a tough call right now, but as far as market price and the market's function, we would suspect that with the new contract highs in corn and the beans, you know, strongly below $6 right now, if that doesn't change after tomorrow's or Monday's report, we'll probably see a lot more corn come back in the central part of the Corn Belt.
Let's look at this corn market from a technical standpoint for a second. The May, if you look at the charts, looks like it might want to test that August gap at 244 and three quarters. And if it gets there, does D's hit 270? I mean, 275.
Yeah, it's pretty likely. You know, December, the old contract high of 270 is very important. One thing we noted this morning and yesterday's close was that back on the May chart, where that's probably the most negative in the market's mindset because of the old crop corn hanging over the market and the high supplies and the basis, and you know, how will that be juxtaposed against the tight farmer holding right now? I think our mindset is the 10-day moving average getting back up above the 50 and the 200-day is going to allow, you know, the technicians to come in and maybe make some gains here and test those old highs around that 244 area.
And the beans have the decline, at least for now, subsided, or will we continue to see a slow and deliberate decline?
You know, believe it or not, you're probably not going to believe this coming from us, but we're in a mindset right now that the beans probably can hold at these price levels in the old crop, that the cash market has certainly been beat up to a bloody pulp enough, and producers that are going to sell have already sold, and they're not probably going to sell in this kind of a trough at this point because we've got anywhere from 530 out west to, you know, 560 in Kentucky for nearby beans, with a lot shaking out at around 545, 550. I doubt very seriously that we see a lot of people sell old crop beans right now. Now, that doesn't mean the new crop can't go lower and the spreads widen out. And really, this time of year, because South America's coming on board, you know, that might be something that has to happen here, where the cash slugs it out with the South American crop at the Gulf, and they, you know, kind of stay toe and toe with each other. But you see the new crop continue to leak out because we have ample supplies right now.
Over on the Merck, is the bleeding over in the cattle pit?
Well, we'd like to think so, but no one really knows for sure. I think our attention is the hogs are probably going to be the thing that needs to lead us out of this market hole that we've been put in, Dave. You know, our mindset is that we've factored in a lot of bird flu with these prices where we're at right now, and I guess we're kind of optimistic that once April hogs go off the board here in the next week, we may have a low put in the hogs for the next 60 to 90 days. We're thinking that because the way the supplies are looking after the hogs and pigs report, we actually like the kefir breeding numbers. We actually like the weight breakdowns from 60 to 179 pounds. Being at 100% of last year, we can tolerate that. We're not going to have to kill much more than 2 million head a week this summer, and this is usually a good demand time period. So we're looking for the hogs to give us some leadership. The cattle guys down south are still putting cattle in feedlots because they have nothing in terms of pasture in North Texas all the way up into Oklahoma. Now, I do know that Enid, Oklahoma, where that's a big stocker region, that's got pretty good rain amounts the last few weeks, but they still need a lot more.
We see that the CME has gone to the CFTC, a lot of letters, of course, but to approve a regulation to increase daily trading limits for hog futures from 200 to 300. What's behind all that?
Well, it's the specs, we would suspect, and no pun intended there. But, you know, our mindset is that the agricultural complex is still being looked upon pretty favorably because the dollar and the interest rates and how they correlate the hard assets when you have some inflation in the markets. And I don't know, you can't really, in our view, make a 25-year high in gold and not have a spillover effect in the grains and to a lesser degree in the meats, because the news wires were saying all week this week that we were making these highs in gold because of a weaker dollar and the confidence to go ahead and buy back into the crude and buy back into the gold. And so our opinion is this next 3 to 4 months, you're probably going to continue to see this ramping up mindset by the institutional investors to keep buying agricultural commodities. But, you know, like Chuck pointed out a few weeks back when we made that cattle high, what the funds give, they take back away. And when they overdo it to the upside, they overdo it to the downside as well. And we think that's exactly what's happening in cattle right now. So we have to be really on our toes and sell as the market goes higher if we're hedgers.
Thanks much, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
You're listening to WILL Urbana. In the studio, Focus 580 host David Inge.
Hi, Dave.
What do you have on Friday?